Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. My name is Lisa Urbanski, joined with by Roger Knecht. Before I introduce him and before we get started, I want to thank our sponsor, iHeartRadio and Spreaker. Without you, this conversation would not be possible. And to our listeners and our viewers, we appreciate you so much, and we'd appreciate it so much if you would like, subscribe, share. And any comments you have, just leave them in the episode notes, and we'll be sure to answer any questions or pass them on to Roger if you have a question for him. So Roger is joining us again, and he is the powerhouse behind Universal Accounting Center. So he spent over 2 decades helping accounting professionals and business owners turn their passion into profit. So as president, author, and host of Building the Premier Accounting Firm podcast, Roger equips firms with the tools, strategies, and the mindset needed to thrive in today's competitive landscape. With a very deep commitment to results and a reputation for empowering success, he is redefining what it means to be an accountant in this modern world. He is the author of Your Strategic Accountant and Your Profit and Growth Expert, and he is so passionate about helping business owners maximize their financial potential. If you did not listen to the last show that we did, we were talking about the red to black turnaround model, and he has a free ebook that explains it. And we would love for you to check that out. There's a link in the show notes for that as well. So go there later. Hey, welcome back. How are you doing, Roger?
Doing wonderfully. So it's a pleasure to be back with you.
Yes, such a pleasure. So we have a big topic to cover today. There's
We do.
a lot of different principles here. I'm excited to chat about it.
Well, I'm excited to go into this as well because, as you just mentioned, the last conversation was about red to black, moving a company from being cash negative to being cash positive, having themselves be in that positive, profitable mindset of being in the black. And now we're going to discuss staying in the black and 9 principles that can actually ensure your profitability month over month, year over year.
So we're going to talk about 9 principles to success. So the universal business model. Let's get right into it.
Perfect. Well, the universal business model is made up of a principle called mapping the business. It's 3 core elements that exist in every business. And when you're mapping the business, you're basically looking at first and foremost marketing and sales, what you're doing to grow the company, bring in additional revenue. The second is the accounting. What's going on as it relates to the numbers? What are you tracking? And more importantly, what are you doing to account for the financial side of the business? And the last part of it is P, production. P is where you're actually now focusing on delivering your product or service, doing it efficiently and profitably. So when you take this acronym of mapping the business, MAP, you're focusing on top line revenue, the numbers that make sense, and delivering a quality product or service profitably.
Okay. So there's an acronym there. That makes a lot of sense. And so this is broken into short, mid, and long term.
That's right. So the easiest way to kind of look at this is each of the 3 areas of the business, the marketing, the accounting, and production. Each has 3 areas that are short-term in focus, mid-term, and long-term. And the first way I'd like to begin by breaking this down is, first of all, explaining that the short-term is very much short-term. It's four weeks, a month of time. The mid-term is about a quarter in time. And then the long-term is a year or more in time. And so that's the snapshots in which you're looking at your business. At the short-term, what can you focus on in each of these 3 areas as it relates to the next 4 weeks, that next month? The next level is what can you be doing in the business to address the next quarter that you're in, and by the end of the quarter, accomplish certain goals and tasks. And the last is, as a leader, what are you doing to look forward in the business and remain relevant? So those are 3 key things. And when you kind of chunk them down into these bite-sized pieces, they become much more manageable. The other part of this, as you look at the business, is the short term is clearly what the employees are dealing with. It's the day-to-day operations of the business, the things that they need to be focusing on to ensure that the company is running smoothly and profitably. The quarterly things, the midterm tasks, are those that management needs to deal with. They're looking at a management level, what can we do to improve the functionality of the business, the profitability of the business? We're going to talk about that. But that last thing that I said is long term, that is what the owner focuses on. They're providing the vision, the leadership. That's something they cannot delegate. Now, oftentimes in a smaller business, the leader, the owner may be involved at the short term doing day-to-day things, may be involved with management type things. But as they grow the company and start to move further and further into that long-term perspective, that's where they reside. And honestly, that's the one thing they can't give up.
So it's all about different levels of success and different timelines. Amazing. Do you want to break down? Let's go over the principles.
Certainly. So obviously in the book, we go into these in a lot more detail, but let's just kind of do this for the audience. The first thing at the short-term level is we're looking at in the marketing arena is basically what do you need to focus on to ensure that you're being profitable? So what we're talking about here is a mindset within the company that everyone is focusing on the sale. There is a principle that we focus on here that we try to emulate with all of our clients. And it's essentially everybody is a salesperson, and no good deal, or excuse me, nothing happens until you make a sale. That whole concept of nothing happens until you make a sale really resonates with a solopreneur when oftentimes we get distracted and really enjoy a lot of the things that we're doing as it relates to taking care of the customer and getting things in order. But sometimes those things distract us from what matters most, which is nothing happens until you make a sale. And it's getting into that marketing sales mindset. As for accounting, it's cash flow, cash flow, cash flow. We have to understand at the accounting level, the thing that we have to realize is cash is king. And so if we don't have the cash, we're not able to pay the bill, make payrolls, and so forth. So at the short-term level, it's all about the cash flow. And then as it relates to production, we're going to focus on communication. What are we doing to ensure that as the sale moves through the company, that as the customer's expectations have been managed, are we going to be able to meet them? And so that's one of the things we want to focus on is have we managed the customer's expectation? That's that short-term level, and it's the thing that I find most often companies struggle with and we need to focus on.
Yeah, I know a lot of people get caught up in those day-to-day tasks and then forget about the making money aspect of things because not everyone is good at everything, right? And so we want to focus on things we're good at, but you're right, we got to focus on like what's going to generate income for our business to thrive.
Yeah, the way I look at it is this. There's a lot of great people out there that have a wonderful product or service, but at the end of the day, unless you're making sales, it doesn't matter. You can be the best accountant, you can be the best marketer, salesperson, whatever your company offers or sells. That's not the question. The question is whether or not you have paying customers. And so we're not putting into doubt whether or not you can provide that quality product or service. We're questioning whether or not you can sell that product or service and get paid what you're worth.
No pressure, no pressure.
No pressure whatsoever. It's just the reality of the situation. Nothing happens again until you make a sale.
Absolutely. So let's go on to the next principle.
Yeah, so now that we've got some context as to what we're looking at here, what we want to do is break it down then into the midterm. What is management focusing on? What is it that they should be prioritizing? And as it relates to marketing, it's no deal is a good deal unless it's a good deal for both parties. So only a deal that is good for the customer and is good for the customer or for the business is best. So there's this old adage of customer knows right or the customer's always right or the customer has to be happy. That's not true. If it's not a good deal for both the customer and the company, there's a problem here. And management's got to make sure that if there's a sale, a promotion, a discount, we've got to be making sure that yes, the customer is taken care of, but is the company being profitable? Can it cover its responsibilities? And that's one of the things that I often think is neglected or missed. And that's one of the things that we want to focus on, especially in this midterm level as we look at the offers, the sales. That's where we're going to put that priority. But when we move to the accounting level, we want to look at how well do we know our business? Are we looking at the numbers? Are we able to do forecasts and look forward in the business as to the cash flow needs that the company has? All of these things are things that we need to consider as we're running the company, and that requires us to know the business. Are we looking at the financial reports? As it comes to production, at the management level, what we're going to be doing is how can we improve the internal processes? Are there systems? Are there new upgrades? Are there products that we should be bringing into the company that actually streamlines the effectiveness of the business, helping us be more efficient? And so that's oftentimes new trainings, new programs, new equipment, and that's where the company kind of invests in itself. And so at that management level, it's first and foremost, a deal is only a good deal if it's a good deal for both parties. For the accounting, are we looking at the numbers? Do we know our numbers? And with regards to production, are we taking the processes that we have? Are we documenting them? Are we recording them? And are we improving them?
Give us an example of a sale that would not benefit a company.
Excellent question. So oftentimes what happens is we as salespeople, we get really ambitious and we start to embellish, but more importantly, we're willing to offer the farm to close the deal. And sometimes what happens is we fail to look at the long-term relations of this. And I can give you a few examples. In the service-oriented industry, what you'll find is that there's typically a negotiation that may occur with the client as to the services being provided. And an eager business person might say, I'll compromise or discount my fee for my services with the intent of getting a client today. And what happens is through that negotiation, you cheapen your services to the point that, yeah, you got the deal, but 6 months from now, you've got better paying customers and you don't like to do the work for this client any longer. It's not worth your time. And so all of a sudden, you not only regret taking on the deal, but you start to neglect the client. You start to push them off and not be willing to do the work. Well, that animosity, let's say, that you have for that client was self-imposed. You should have never
Totally.
cheapened your services to the point that you took the client for an amount that was undeserving of your fee. So what we're doing is we're recognizing that we do have worth and we do have value, and you don't want to cheapen that. Now, there's a process to address and work around that, but just understand that when in a service industry, you're cheapening your rates just because you're trying to negotiate to the point that you get the sale, you sometimes will cheapen your services to the point that it's just not affordable for you. It's just better that you didn't take the client on. In a more, let's say, widgets type business, you could be in a position where maybe you have inventory that's all been paid for, it's sitting there, it's dormant. We just want to liquidate it. We want to get it out. We want to make room for something that has a better, let's say, price point or price margin. Well, what happens is you move that product by perhaps discounting it because you've already taken the loss on it, and you move that, and your salespeople get excited about selling it. Well, all of a sudden, what happens is it's all sold and they're asking for more. The customers want it, they like it, and they like it at that price point. So you go out as a company and you buy it. Problem is what you were discounting before was this old inventory that was needing to be liquidated. What you're buying now is something that you've paid for at full price, and it can't be sold for that margin anymore. But sometimes what happens is that's not communicated in the business. The sales manager loves the sales and the recognition they're getting. The salespeople love what's going on. So they want to continue with that promotion. Nobody bothers to come in from the accounting department or production department and say our costs are up and we can't afford to buy it for that. And the sale has to end. But the sales continue on and you dig yourself a hole as a company until somebody points out that you can't afford to sell that product for that service anymore or for that price point anymore. And that's one of the things that I think is just the lack of communication going on in the organization. And so we've got to actually get on top and know our numbers so that we can manage those margins. Another example would be a restaurant. Imagine you've got your menu up there with all of your prices for your services. Well, the food prices are contingent upon what the costs of each of those ingredients are. Well, as you know, with the supply chain issues and with inflation, certain ingredients have gone up. And I was working with a client of mine where their produce went up dramatically, nearly 100% in cost. Well, in order to adjust for that, they knew they needed to raise their menu prices, but they were looking at it from a gut point of view. I think I need to raise it like a dollar per menu item. But in reality, we knew the number because we knew what the cost of goods were for those ingredients. And we could actually tell them that your cost of goods have gone up this percentage point. And honestly, that dollar wouldn't cover the increase. It wasn't enough. And so what we had to do is go back to the owner of the restaurant and point out your cost of goods have gone up so much that the dollar you were thinking would be insufficient. If you were to raise the price and continue, you'd still have this cash flow issue. So it was basically pointing out that with the number, we could justify or at least explain why a greater increase was necessary. And the restaurant owner was able to make an intelligent decision and raise the prices appropriately so that they could cover the costs and obviously stay in business. But this is just another example of, as a good deal being a good deal for both parties, you've got to make sure that, yes, you make great food and that, yes, people like it, but you've got to do it profitably.
Yeah, absolutely. Business is all about the long game, and you're right to be strategic in the business that you're doing, because it could come to bite you in the end, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, your generosity can catch up to you.
Yes. Just to get a client, sometimes it's not worth
It's not worth it.
it. So let's go on to the next principle.
Perfect. So these are the next of the nine principles. It's the last three and it's the long term. And what we're looking at really here is what the owner of the business needs to be doing. Again, this is something that really they shouldn't be delegating, and they need to be that leader with that vision to take things forward. So when it comes to marketing, what we're going to be doing is focusing on growing the business geometrically. It's not just growing the business vertically, which is what you would expect in a business. You're good at selling this product to this customer, so you're going to go get more of those customers to buy that product. But if you listen to your customers, a good business owner might find opportunities to create a new product or a service that complements what they're already doing that really could be an additional revenue stream in the coming year. And so what we're talking about doing is listening to the customers and seeing what else would they be willing to purchase from you because they now already know, like, and trust you. And so there's a geometric growth opportunity here to say, is there something that we can add to our revenue stream that doesn't exist today, a product or service that if we offered, our customers be willing to pay for? For it. And so what we're trying to do is bring in something new. And that new revenue is just that. It's brand new revenue that we weren't selling before that now our customers are buying from us today. And there's so many examples of this where you just listened to your customers and now all of a sudden you're able to offer something that you haven't done before. Sometimes this requires you to purchase a new piece of equipment. Maybe this causes you to hire a new type of person in the company that has a skill or an ability that you didn't have before. But just with that minor addition, you're able to now sell something to all of the customers you're already selling to, simply because of the fact that this added thing makes sense and they're willing to pay for it also.
That is smart business.
So the next one that you're going to have is you're going to have now accounting, planning for tomorrow. This is where you actually, as a business owner, go look at raising capital, getting a line of credit with the banks, let's say, just basically taking the information you have and figuring out what's that next step in your business for growth. And it does require you to, now knowing the numbers, look at the financial reports and budget and forecast and see, are there shortcomings that are on the horizon that I can plan for? So knowing your business gives you a chance to now actually take care of any cash needs that you're going to have in the future with purpose. And now all of a sudden you're not caught off guard and in a pickle of a situation at any given time. Why? Because you were looking ahead, being that visionary person. The next one is for production. And this is one that I also find is very important. And it's taking what you have and making it better. Clearly, you're in business doing what you do for a reason, but you and I both know that in running a business, things change. Your customers' needs change, and whether it be the packaging, the delivery, something has to be done differently. And so, if you look at manufacturing, there's updates as to how things are actually created and manufactured and assembled. There's things as it relates to AI that you can be bringing into the business model. There's things that you can actually, through training and incorporation in the business, streamline processes. Well, it's taking what you have and making it better, both for the company and for the customer. And now that allows you to stay on the cutting edge. You're not going to be then struggling as a business to compete because you are being forward-thinking and actually looking at, through maybe vendor relationships and new technology, better ways of delivering what you do. Case in point, as an example, we're an accounting school. And as a school, we used to basically 20, 30 years ago, have campuses. And in those campuses, you would go and in a traditional setting, experience the classroom experience with a teacher at a desk in a classroom. Well, today we've transitioned to where we've closed all 22 of our campuses. The campuses no longer exist, and all of our training is delivered online. It's
Right.
actually adapting to the point that we now deliver everything via video instruction, manuals, online tests, and it really allows that independent study experience to conform to the busy nature that so many of our students experience. They prefer the fact that they can study at their own pace, at their own time, where they choose to do it, whether it's in the commute or at the home or at the office. All of those things are now convenient. They don't have to go to a classroom at a specific time and for a specific period of time go through the class. Again, they can do it on their own. Well, that's a change and an evolution to our business model. And if we held firm to we are a school and we're going to be traditional and stay with the classrooms, I dare say we'd be out of business now. It's that adaptation that's allowed us to be in business now for over 45 years.
Amazing. And sometimes things that are happening in the world force us to pivot and change and alter the way our business is. There was a Canada Post strike, and that forced a lot of businesses to stop with, receiving mail, payments by mail, which was so outdated anyway. But then it forced them to move into the next step and, enhance our business in that way. So yeah, it's all about being fluid and pivoting.
Oh,
Love
yeah.
that.
I can't dare say many of us are doing business today like we were 5 years ago.
Yeah, no doubt. It's evolved so much, and sometimes it changes throughout the day.
Oh, yes. No, it does change and quickly.
Yes. So, do we want to talk about the next business model now? The wisdom pyramid.
Certainly. And I think this is very helpful because in the middle of this whole process, I mentioned knowing the numbers. And knowing the numbers is such a critical part of this. It allows you to remove from the business decisions you're making the emotional component and just manage by the numbers. But to do this, you actually have to go through an experience. And the wisdom pyramid is exactly that. It's the experience you have as a business owner as it relates to your business. So a few fundamental things I'd like to point out. First of all, accounting is the language of business. Key metrics are the key things you need to be watching in the organization. All these are quantifiable. All of these are things that you can track from a numeric point of view. So, what does that experience look like? Well, the wisdom pyramid has as its foundation raw data. It's just the numbers, just collecting the data so that we actually are tracking things. But to just track the information isn't enough. You have to compile that data into information and create reports. These reports basically organize that data into useful information. This data that's just being tracked, until it's organized, is just that data. But once you actually now have information compiled in reports, you've got something here that you can now compare and you can actually look at trends and you can identify in things. But unless you're looking at the reports that you've created and reviewing them regularly, you're never going to gain the knowledge you need to run the organization. So the raw data becomes the information. The information becomes the reports that you're able to review and gain the knowledge. And it's through the consistent exposure to those reports and the knowledge that you're gaining that you're going to get that last thing, which is that sixth sense in business that gives you a wisdom of knowing things that's intuitive. As a business owner, there's a lot of things that we know because we've been doing it for so long and so well, and we have a sixth sense about the business. But what you need to do is have information that confirms those things. And the more you're looking at that raw data that's in information as reports on a regular basis through the knowledge you're gaining, the more likely you're going to be apprised of changes in the industry, in the economy, changes in what's going on with your customer relationships and production. All those things come down to quantifiable things that, yes, you might have a wisdom for, but you get a confirmation through that knowledge that you're getting regularly looking at the numbers.
Absolutely. I remember speaking to someone who just started in the type of business I was doing, and they were asking so many questions, and I just said, you know what, you just got to trust me. I've done this a million times, and I've like the experience to just watch and trust. There's a lot of trust that goes into business, and yeah, I love it. So did we go over the four levels of the wisdom pyramid?
We did. It's raw data to information, information to knowledge, knowledge to wisdom.
Amazing. So then we have to start talking about understanding the control and impact matrix.
We do because, with all this information and with this wisdom we have about our business, we typically have a lot of ideas, things we want to do. And there's these fires that are burning that also demand our attention. So, what we have to do as business leaders is we have to understand that there's a metrics we could use to help organize our day, prioritize the things that we should be doing. And the way you do it is just a four-part grid, and it's very simple. Across the top, it's those things that we have impact, high, low impact. And across the side, it's whether or not we have control or no control over the situation. Clearly, the things that will have a big impact and we can influence and control, we want to do first. These are things that are in our control that we can actually manipulate. And because of that, we know they're going to have big results. That's focused there. But the things that we have high control over, but have minimal impact, we may want to second guess. Obviously, it's something we can do, but it's really not going to move the needle on anything. Let's now go to the things that are big impact, but we have low control. Yeah, it'd be wonderful if this could change, but you can only do so much. There's things outside of your control that honestly you cannot even influence. And so, yes, it's a big impact, but unless you can figure out a way to take over some of that control and actually influence it better, it's outside of your control. Why worry about it? Even though it will have a big impact, it's recognizing that you just can't do much about it. And then the last thing that you really don't have any influence over are those things that are low impact and low results. Why even focus on it? You can't do anything about it. And if you did, it wouldn't have that much of an impact anyway. So looking at things through that lens sometimes helps us identify, you know what? This is what I need to be working on. If I did this, I could see something changing for the better. If I did this, I could see something changing, but really, I don't know that it would make much of a difference. I could do it tomorrow, the next day. Even though I have a lot of control, doing it a week from now, it just wouldn't matter. And if I got done, okay, great, I can check it off. Those big things that, however, are high impact that we don't have control over, it allows us to, in identifying it's a big deal and recognize we don't have impact, start looking for where are those opportunities going to present themselves that we can have better control over the situation. And those opportunities will present themselves if we're just open to them because we recognize this is something that needs to change. And I'm going to be aware of and looking for opportunities to now have that impact that I currently don't have.
So, what are a few things that would be out of our control? Just for the audience, some examples of those things.
Oh, great question. Well, if you're in the business world, one of the things that you look at is how things are going with the economy and what's happening right now as we're doing this recording as it relates to tariffs. Well, I don't have any influence over tariffs, but I have
Right.
clients that are being impacted by what's happening as people are importing goods from overseas, and these tariffs impact the pricing. Well, if you're a business that actually purchased, let's say, an item, a widget from overseas, and it happens to have been paid for and it's now produced and it happens to be shipping over in a container and it's going to arrive at the port, well, you've already paid for it, but you put all of your money into actually having that manufactured. You don't have anything left, but yet at the port, they're asking you for a large sum of money so that you can actually receive that. You're second guessing whether or not it's worth getting the capital needed to even acquire what you've already paid to get. And that's one of the big questions that you have in the business is, if I pay this fee, would I be able to receive the goods and actually price it accordingly that I can still sell it profitably, or should I just cut my losses and walk away from it? Well, these are things that you have to decide because clearly I have no impact over the tariff fee. I don't have any impact on whether or not I can do this, but could I raise the funds or sell them accordingly? These are all decisions that I have to consider. But when it comes to tariffs, I don't have any control. When it comes to, let's say, somebody else's livelihood, I've got employees that make different decisions than I would. Well, as they make personal decisions that impact work, these are things that are outside of my control. These are their choices. They're making them on their time, but it does impact me. Well, I can actually make a little bit more control over this because of the impact and say, well, I can let that person go or change the responsibilities within the organization. So I have a little bit more control over this than I may be willing to admit because they work for me and I can let them go or change their assignment. But it is a high impact. And I just have to recognize, is it a low control or a high control situation? So these are just some examples of just kind of sitting back and realizing what is it that I can influence and do? What can't I influence and do, and whether or not it'll matter in the end.
Would we be planning for the unknowns, like the stuff that we could never plan for? Is that something that we should be incorporating into our business plan?
Well, two things I'm going to say. One, as a leader, you have to have resilience. You have to be willing to understand that at the end of the day, it's never going to go as you ultimately thought it would. So you always have to be prepared for it taking longer or something coming up in the middle of it because nothing's perfect. And so you have to be resilient to be willing to adapt to the situations. But also, when it comes to cash, you have to understand that things take longer and cost more than you typically expect. And so, yes, you might have allocated funds and you might have money set aside, but it's good to have a slush fund, access to capital or revenue that allows you to actually have choice or take advantage of opportunities as they present themselves. Because what we're needing to realize as business owners is it does take money to make money and it takes time to do things. And if we've got the ability to manage them effectively, we can actually find the wiggle room to be profitable. And that's what we're talking about here is with the nine principles to be profitable is using the matrix to figure out, okay, what do I need to be prioritizing? First and foremost, it's not taking the process and making it better. It's nothing happens until I make a sale. So as much as I want to go to the back of the warehouse and figure out how to do things smarter and better, I need to get out there and make sure I'm selling and marketing. Why? Because unless I've got customers coming through the door, what I'm going to work on at the back of the warehouse doesn't matter. And so it's taking and prioritizing things of what can I do that has high impact? If I'm not a good salesperson, I better go find and hire somebody that can be a good salesperson so that that's always a priority. That's just one of the things that I find in business that we have to do is we've just got to keep our eye on what matters most, what brings in the money, what makes us money, and helps us stay in business.
Absolutely. So Roger, everything we talked about today is in an ebook that you have on your website and it is free. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, 9 Principles to Make Your Business Profitable. We wrote this book a number of years ago. It was written by Alan Bostrom and myself, where we were actually taking and applying principles he had learned from his father and showing how they actually related to the business that we were running and other businesses that we were familiar with. And we give practical hands-on applications of these principles and more so that you can, as a business owner, see what you should be doing to lead your company. It is, in my opinion, one of the must-have, must-read books. It's easily available because it's free. Simply go to universalaccounting.com and in the navigation of the site, find free resources, click into the ebooks, and you'll see it available there for you to have. This is a must read. It is kind of an action guide for business. I use it in this business. I refer to it regularly as I'm making decisions. It is the one thing that honestly has afforded me the ability to not only grow the company, but sleep at nights.
Wow, that's powerful. Sleeping at night is a good thing. Amazing.
It is.
So we can find you at universalbuilders.com, correct? Universalbusinessbuilders.com. Is there any other place that we can locate you if need be?
Yes, well, that website you just mentioned, that does exist, and that is something we use, but the preferred one is universalaccounting.com. Go to universalaccounting.com, and that's where you'll find those free resources I mentioned. The Universal Business Builders, that actually does exist as a website. The other one is Universal Accounting School, where we have our program. So there are a few
Amazing.
Different URLs, but the one that you want to focus on for ease is just universalaccounting.com. Now, with that said, you can also connect with me on LinkedIn. Definitely connect with me, direct message me, mention this podcast. I'd be happy to connect with you there and start a communication. But the point is LinkedIn's a great place for us to actually work at a business level on the things that you're focusing on or dealing with. And I'm happy to have that connection.
Amazing. Any last minute advice for our viewers and listeners today?
Yeah, regarding In the Black, I just want to point out that one of the things that I think it does is it allows us to take all the noise that's going on in our lives and organize it. There's a lot of things that we're responsible for. And if you could just, first of all, take and say, okay, is this a short term? Is this a midterm? Is this a long term type thing? Is this an accounting? Is this a marketing? Is this a production related thing? You can take the 100 things you're dealing with and you organize them into, let's say, 10, 15 marketing and sales items, 10 or 15 accounting things, 10 or 15 production things. Well, now the list isn't 100, it's 10 or 15 that I have to now prioritize. That's easier to work with. And if you're able to say, well, sales are going great, let me focus on the accounting. I need to get on top of cash. Oh, you know, accounting is great. Let's talk about production. What can I do to make it so that we're more efficient and profitable? Then you're able to take those 10 or 15 things that you've put in that category and prioritize them. Which do I have a higher impact on and would have a greater result? Okay, now of the 15 things, I've got 3 things I know I can work on. Of the 3 things, 2 I can delegate to someone specifically, 1 I will work on myself. Well, those 100 things now became much more manageable and a lot easier to do. And the book shows you how to actually go through that process. So that's what I'd like to end with.
Amazing. I just want to say thank you so much for showing up today and, you know, providing so much value to our audience. And yeah, you always have so many amazing things to say and so many tools and yeah, free tools for that matter.
Well, Lisa, it's always a privilege. It's an honor. I enjoy our conversations and always remember this, if it's about business, it is universal.
Amazing. For our audience, thank you so much for tuning in today. Until next time, I'm Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor. This is Roger Connect. We are signing out. Bye.